Amen. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day. It's just so just refreshing, and we just thank you for it. And just pray you just continue to be our just encouragement to us this morning as we come together and look into your word. And we thank you for your word because you tell us things we would never otherwise know. You would tell us things that the world is incapable of understanding. And so, Lord, we do open your word and say, speak to us and teach us. And so I pray this morning, you know, each heart would be open to receive the word, and I pray that you just anoint me that I'd speak nothing but things of the Spirit and that be encouraging the listeners. And so, Lord, we just come together now and look to you and give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Okay, we're going to look at this morning 2 Corinthians 4:7. I was just going to say before this verse, but I say it before a whole bunch of verses. I said, this is a great verse. Okay, this is a great verse. Let's look at this. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. There's so much theology in this verse. It's just mind-boggling. It really is mind-boggling. And it's but it's easy to understand, easy to memorize. And so we want to look at this and just receive what the Lord has tied into this verse to speak to us about us and who we are. Now, as we look at this verse, we see a powerful, powerful connection between God and his people. Unbelievable connection. You know, people talk about God. People that don't believe in God talk about God, you know, philosophy of a God or whatever, if there is a God and all those kind of things. Christians, you know, talk about God and, you know, the majesty and stuff. And you know, some are right, you know, some are off base. But what we can do, you know, we look at things and it's really hard to understand. This is not hard to understand. It's just not. And it's simple to read. Now, it might be hard to believe, but it's not hard to understand, all right? So this is theology made simple, okay? Theology made simple. And you just look at this, read it again. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So what we have here, we are compared to earthly jars of clay. That's what God says. What? You just... I'm trying to watch what I say. God is saying, you're just a bunch of jars of clay. You know, he said, come on, I just love this. All the jars of clay. I'm going to bring all these jars. So he's given us an understanding of his perspective, you know, that, you know, in connection to him. So your jars of clay, you know, and I mean, he didn't even say like your jars of china or cups of gold, you know. He said, no, your jars of clay. And so there's definitely a message there. However, now here's the however. You got to picture the jars of clay. I love Claire's picture she put on the bulletin. That's it. You know, that's what it says. There you are. So that's true. That's true. And if we probably examine ourselves, we say, gosh, we just all our weaknesses and our shortcomings. And a lot of times we feel like jars of clay. You know. However, within our jar of clay, we have the treasure of the infinite majesty of God himself. God has chosen. Look at Claire's picture on the bulletin. God has chosen to get in our jar. He's in our jar. See, that's what this verse says. So your jar is of clay, you know, but I'm in your jar. The infinite God, the infinite majesty of God himself is in our jar. Elsewhere, it's revealed as Christ in you or the Holy Spirit in you. Same thing, you know. So God is in our jar. What he's saying here, that God shows us that he takes residence in jars of clay. He takes residence in jars of clay. Now, you know, don't skip these words after jars of clay. You see, I have jars of clay underlined. The next two verses, next two words are important. See, he takes up residence in jars of clay to show. See, to show. There's a reason. There's a reason. He takes up residence in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God alone and not to us. Really? He's making us understand something here and not to us. God, and it says this in Scripture, right? I've even preached on it. God is totally excited about showing his power through us. He's excited about showing his power through us. But he just doesn't want us taking credit for it. That's it. I don't want you to take credit for it. I don't want to take credit. I'm excited to do it, but I don't want you taking credit for it. And we see it through the whole Bible. The last few messages, we've looked at that. You know, and it even says goes along with what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 through 29. It says this, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." Same thing. He's just saying the same thing. He just clarified it in 4:7. He said, see, I need some jars, you know, but I just don't need a bunch of jars running off doing their own thing. You know, no thing. It causes a lot of breakage, you know, it's a lot of confusion. He said, I want a jar that really isn't worth a whole lot, but I'm going to make it worth everything by just indwelling it. Now see, that's what he is saying right here. That's the whole reason. He's given us a whole theological reason that you can go to a seminary and study forever and write volumes on it. He said, well, okay, I'll just give you this verse and do whatever you want to. But this is what's happening. This is what's happening. Now, when you understand this, okay, the picture's pretty clear. When you understand there's a jars of clay, so the majesty of God within us, so they see the power is from God and not from us. This is so important that God even brings hardship to teach us to depend on him. He brings hardship to teach us, you're a jar of clay. That's his lesson. He said, well, you're being mean, you're doing it. No, you're a jar of clay. Let me tell you, okay, I'll just bring these hardships. You can't handle them, right? Because you're a jar of clay. Oh. 2 Corinthians 1:9. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:9. Paul goes, indeed, we felt that we received the sentence of death. You know what Paul said? I'm going to die. I wish I was dead. I'm done. I'm finished. See, indeed, we felt that we received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul, you're a jar of clay. That's the purpose. Well, doing this, we analyze it, we put it on the board, we talk and all this stuff happening. Okay, God, what are you doing here? Well, I'm done. You're a jar of clay. Well, okay. No, that's it. That's it. See, I'm God, you're not. And I want people to see me and depend on me and through me. Through me. You can do anything. So, what we see here, now this has helped to understand a lot of things. We receive hardship to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Then when we learn to humble ourselves, now what is humble? The word humble, always hate this word. The word humble, it means you come under. See? So when we learn to humble ourselves before God, what does that mean? We come under, you know. Then God exalts us. Another simple verse. Look at James 4:10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. I want to be exalted. Okay. Humble yourself before the Lord. But what do I do? The problem is, I got to prove you're a jar of clay. And when you realize you're a jar of clay, then you humble yourself, and because I will show my surpassing greatness in jars of clay. And then everybody going, no, it's me and not you. But I need you to recognize you're a jar of clay. So I'll bring some hardships and I'll teach you you're a jar of clay. You know. All right? It's simple. Like I say, there's a lot of theology in that one verse. It just, you know, we could say, memorize 2 Corinthians 4:7 and do it. That's it. It's, well, and then the humble is, God, I mean, I don't know you. Just humble yourself, and I got so much to offer. Or I don't, or on the opposite, I don't have anything to offer. I can't do anything. You know, I'm less than a jar of clay. You know, oh my God, all the stuff goes through your mind. So you humbled yourself before God in James 4:10. Well, you humbled yourself before me, I will exalt you. See, that's what I wanted to do. Amen? Real clear. Okay, it's real clear what's happening here, and you know, in the entire Bible, what's zeroing in like this. God is telling us to make decisions for him. He's telling us to make, I said, you go, okay, because you said it, I'll do it. And so we do what he says, because God said it. See, and then God says, you do what I say, and then I'll exalt you. Well, no, I like what I'm going to do. Okay, you're going to suffer the consequences. I'm going to bring, he said, I'm going to bring hardship on you so you will humble yourself. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You know, I read a great statement, secular statement, and I thought, should be in the Bible. But the statement says, we are the architect of our own chaos. And all God's people said, amen. See, I had a different experience, and you've heard me say it. I looked at all the problems I've had, and I found that the common denominator in all my problems is me. Same thing. I'm the architect of my own chaos. Like that. Gosh, I wish I hadn't done that. God goes, I wish you hadn't either. Oh, me and you can agree right there. So that's what this is saying. God is just telling us. Now, and granted, we don't like people telling us what to do. I mean, now, first of all, some of you, well, you know, whether we're smarter than they are or not, we just don't like people telling us what to do. And to humble ourselves under somebody, including God, I mean, we don't jump. We're not excited about that. And God goes, listen, for me to work, you have to come under me. You know, because what I do, I empower jars of clay. And a jar of clay will come under, you know, because they're useless anywhere, so they come under, you know. He said, now it's a jar of clay. Now I'll exalt you. I'll exalt you. So I have to teach you to be a jar of clay. But what happens when we humble ourselves to God, he says he'll exalt us. When we humble ourselves before God, he moves on our behalf. Biblical. When you submit, when we humble to God, God moves on our behalf. 2 Corinthians 4:7. 4:7. What does it say? But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to, and he moves on our behalf. That's what he said. You humble yourself to me and I'll move on your behalf, because there is power in it, but you have to humble to me and I will move on your behalf. See, the issue, I mean, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, you know, the issue is you. It is, it's you. I have a problem. The big word that you said in that sentence is I. You could also say, I created this problem. You know. Now God is, you know, he's infinite, so he can bring, he knows how to work things. See, he is so creative. I know you're all going through things. You're going through things. I'm going through things. You know? And it's all different. He tailor makes your hardships. Was he would make hardships. I just read a verse that said he created hardships. Well, I don't like that verse. I know why he said it. You know. But why? He's a loving God. I know. That's why he created the hardship. But no. God moves, and what he moves, and our requirement, it's like, I am going to figure God out. Okay? Ain't happening. But just knock yourself out. Okay? It's not happening. All right? And so, you know, some of us that, you know, kind of, you know, just kind of make it clear to me. He's all right. If you want it clear to you, look at 2 Corinthians 4:7. Do that. That's it. You don't have to do anything else. You mean I just humble myself to you? Yeah. And then when you humble yourself, I exalt you. Okay, if I do this, you're going to do this. I didn't tell you what to do. I said humble myself. As long as you're telling me what I'm doing and I should do, you're not humbling yourself. Humble yourself and said, Lord, I'm yours to use. That's what jars of clay do. So humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you. When we trust God, he moves on our behalf. Now, here's the other piece. There's the other piece. The benefits of trusting God and God alone are unimaginable. See, we can't even comprehend the magnitude of what God will do when we submit ourselves to him. We can't even imagine it. Well, I'm not moving until I figure it out. God goes, you can't figure this out. Your way got you in this jam in the first place. All right? No, submit to me, let me work, and I will move on your behalf in things you can't imagine. Unimaginable. Oh, there's a verse. Ephesians 3:20. Now, it's all tied together. God wrote the whole Bible. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able, this is to God, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. 2 Corinthians 4:7. That's 2 Corinthians 4:7. Oh, that's a great verse. Yeah, there's a lot of them in there, and they're all tied together. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Seven, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God. I can do far more abundantly. He can do more, far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to his power that works in us. I just need a jar of clay. I just need that, a jar of clay that'll humble itself and I exalt. It's easy. It's easy. Therefore, based on what this says, therefore, when we submit to God, believe what he says, follow him, you know, he does things on our behalf. Now, you know, I used the example last week. I don't want anyone to doubt their salvation. You know, that, you know, it's like, you're going, because we, in the message we used last week, we talked about God transforms us, and the words metamorphosis, and like, you get a caterpillar, he's alive. So, and you lie, so that caterpillar is going to heaven, but there's a metamorphosis that takes place, and in the struggles of being in a cocoon, he comes out as a butterfly. So anyway, so heaven and earth are full of Christians who are caterpillars and butterflies. And God just said, I'm trying to tell you, jars of clay, I'm trying to tell you, caterpillars, how you can be a butterfly. That's 2 Corinthians 4. That's what he's just saying the same thing. He's repeating. And actually, the thing in the butterflies was in chapter 2 Corinthians 3:18. So it's in the same book. So it's in the same. You don't even have to look at that far apart. And so it's, gosh, therefore. Do you know what the therefore is now? Here's the therefore. We're in it. And we believe it, and therefore, our life on earth will have unlimited possibilities because under God's direction, nothing is impossible for us. All God's people said, amen. But now listen, I'm going to go back over. You know I love to repeat things, but listen to all the words. Listen to all the words. Our life on earth will have unlimited possibilities. Everything's possible. Because under God's direction. Oh. Oh. I just want unlimited possibilities under my direction. You know, I mean, I like being a clay pot, and I don't want anybody telling me what to do. And it's like, you know, I want my direction. You say, well, okay. Have at it. Knock yourself out. Those are my words. Those aren't biblical words, but I think they fit. He goes, knock yourself out. How many times has God told you, you want to do this? He goes, knock yourself out. There's even a verse in the Bible that he says that he will send us what we ask for and send leanness to our soul. Well, shucks. What? He said, you know, I can't talk you out of it. Fine, I give it to you. Knock yourself out. See what happened. Didn't work, did it? You know, and so that's like the Apostle Paul. You know, we had the sentence of death. We wanted to die. Yep. I told you. You do under my direction. Okay, therefore, our life on earth, we have unlimited possibilities because under God's direction, nothing is impossible. See? There's just that to get under. So you, God, what do you want me to do? I don't like that, God. That's putting too many restrictions on me. You don't understand the whole problem. I know you tell God that. I know you do because I have. I do. I have these arguments with. I have a good relationship with God on this that I will argue with God. Linda says I should never do this, but I don't know. I just enjoy this, like stating my case. Linda doesn't like it when I state my case to her. I'm sure God's not pleased I state it, but he tolerates me, but he does answer me. He's like, you know, and I have heard, I mean, not so many words, but I literally have, you want to hear from God? I have heard God go, knock yourself out. You know, I didn't want to hear that, you know, I didn't want to hear that. But anyway, so God does communicate, and after, and you keep it up, and you pray for something that he doesn't want you to have long enough, he'll give it to you. And the Bible says, and send leanness to yourself. All right. I'm not going to bless it, but I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. So, you know, maybe you'll make a circle back. Because I said in 2 Corinthians, I'll bring hardships so you'll learn not to rely on yourself. See? God is really taking this serious. He takes this really, really serious. You know, one definition of sin, it's a good definition of sin. You know, well, what's sin? And so we think of a list and all this stuff. But the best definition of sin in my mind is acting independent of God. That's sin. Acting independent, because that covers it. That covers it. I will do it. Knock yourself out. You know? That's independence of God. Independence. You know, Adam and Eve. What did they do? So terrible. acted independent of God. Knock yourself out. Look what you did to the whole human race. You know? Anyway, so real clear. Again, one verse. One verse. And so nothing is impossible to us when we move under God's strength based on what he says, what he's telling us. By golly, there's a verse for that. I mean, there are a bunch of them, but Philippians 4:13, look at that. Philippians 4:13. Now you take all this together. Take it all together. Like some people will memorize this verse, and it's the only verse they have, and it's the only verse they know, and they don't know why it doesn't work. You know, it's like there's some other verses. But look what he says here in context what we're talking about. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Bring it on. Bring it on. I can do all things. I'm not afraid of anything. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. But he also knew, 2 Corinthians 4:7, that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Bring it on. I can do all things to him who strengthens me. Come on. Just that. And so we understand that God wants to do things through us. You know, and he wants people to see it. He wants us to understand it. But he is the one that wants to get the credit for it. He wants us to humble and do what he says. And in fact, I bet today, I'm talking to myself, but I bring you in with me. You'll do something, you know, think that God, I know I shouldn't do that, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, I mean, it's like, I'm going to diet, and I'm not going to eat any ice cream or cookies. I just don't diet. But me and the Lord, we made that decision. But I'm going to have one last ice cream cone before I start. You know, well, you didn't kill anybody. You didn't murder it. But you didn't do what you and God agreed to, you know, and that's a sin. Oh, come on, it's an ice cream cone. You know, okay. I'm just saying, you want to walk with me, you want to depend on me. Now, you understand that I'm making all this stuff up, but I'm trying to make a point. How we have to walk through life. God, we have to be excited about God. Now, does this make sense? Clay jars. Now we ask the question, like we ask Kesha, how does this happen? How does this happen? How does God work through a jar of clay? How does he do this? Okay. Well, I'm going to look at someone here. A lot of examples, but for this point, I want to look at some. I want to look at Gideon. I want to look at Gideon. Most of you know the stories of Gideon. Now, Gideon, Old Testament, Book of Judges, Gideon. Now, we're understanding how to. You know, everybody wants a how to. This is how it happens. You look at Gideon. Now, Gideon, God bless him, was a typical jar of clay. Gideon's a typical jar of clay that God gave an impossible task that he was totally unequipped to perform. Amen? God called Gideon. What are you talking about? And he knew it. Think about Gideon. Man, no way. I'm doing this. He told God, I'm not doing this. Me and Gideon, we argued with him. No, it ain't happening. You know, he goes, you know my mom and dad. I said, you know my mom and dad. Not happening. See, anyway, so you see Gideon, he's a typical jar of clay. But what God did, he gave him an impossible, it couldn't happen. The task he gave him was impossible, and Gideon was totally unequipped. Go fight the battles. And he's hiding from the enemy in where they make grapes. In a pit. You know, I mean, this guy, this is who he picked. See, these are the people God desires to use. God, you, the clay jar, a jar of clay that Gideon was. Now, so we should pay some special attention to what happened to Gideon. Okay? You won't, This, what happened to Gideon's happens to us. This is how it works. This is how it works. Look at Judges 6:34. Now, I put up on the overhead, and this is the literal word-for-word interpretation of that verse. God comes to Gideon, says, "All right, Gideon, buddy, you ready? You ready? More than it's impossible, you can't do it, you're totally equipped." God comes to Gideon. "Gideon, you ready?" And it literally says, "The Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon." What did he do? He got in the jar of clay. Do you see that? I mean, this is what the verse, and by the way, this construction is apparent enough for other people. I mean, it's translated the same way. The Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon. What did God need to do this? He needed a jar of clay. He needed a jar of clay to do that. I mean, he could have come down and wiped everybody out. Now, everybody been praising Jesus and happy about it and scared to death to approach him. But it's like, no, I'm going to close myself with Gideon. And when he does it, it's going, oh my God. The Lord works through Gideon. God showed his power through Gideon. Gideon is powerful in Gideon. God is powerful in Gideon. And that's the way God wants it. The Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon. God put Gideon on like a suit. Now, why am I making a point? This is Christianity. This is Christianity. This is butterflies. Okay? I mean, caterpillars too, but God help us. Metamorphosis to get the butterfly. God put Gideon on like a suit. The idea seems to be that the Spirit of the Lord incarnated himself in Gideon and thus empowered him from within. That's how God works. See? Do you see? What does he need? A clay jar. A clay jar that will submit to God, and then the power comes from God. This is 2 Corinthians 4:7. This is Gideon is 2 Corinthians 4:7. The whole picture is right there. That's what God does. That's what he wants to do. He wants that. There's nothing else. There's no plan B. All God's people said, that includes you and me. Me. Now, okay, some of you say, okay, well, bring us up to the New Testament. Oh, I'm glad you want me to do that. Look, if you will, at 1 Corinthians 6:19. By the way, there are a bunch of places, but look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. Same thing, Gideon, clothing him, you know, the same thing. Need the jar of clay. God got in the jar of clay. He put Gideon on like a suit. So now we have the church. God talks to the church with Gideon in his mind. The clay jar of Gideon in his mind. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body, wait a minute, your clay jar, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Do you not know that your clay jar is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Stop acting independent of me. You're not your own. But I want to knock yourself out. You know, something else. You'll get into something you can't get out of, and you'll be crying for me. Because I am not going to bless your disobedience. In fact, I'm going to send leanness to your soul. I'm going to give it to you, but I'm going to send leanness to your soul. Because that's not what I want. That's not what I want. that's not what I want. It's real easy here. Real easy. Your clay jar is a temple of what? My temple. I come. I live within you. I live within you. Gideon couldn't do anything until God put him on his suit. And then God moved through Gideon. Now, we have, a lot of us read the book, Ian Thomas. We all, the guys just loved it. Absolutely loved it. And so what he's saying, God put us on like a suit. Therefore, this is what Ian Thomas said. Ian Thomas said the same thing. And his whole ministry is tied up in this. So he put Gideon on like a suit. And Ian Thomas said, this is what Ian Thomas said. He says, let God be God in the man. How do I walk with Jesus? Let God be God in the man. God's in the jug. Let him do what he wants to do. You can't do it. You're a clay jar. But he indwells you. He puts us on like a suit. And he goes, now let God be God in the man. What we do, it's like God puts us on in a suit. And then we just, as an empty suit, runs off. He goes, geez. You know, it's a terrible thing to say. A lot of churches just full of empty suits. And why you say that? Because what is sin? Being independent of God. You know, I mean, if some people read this, I read this, I ain't doing that. Well, that's fine. Knock yourself out. Do you see what I'm saying? Not because I said it. If you do it because I said it, you're in trouble. But if you see it in the Word, you see it in the Word. Okay, God. And you know, there's a book coming out by R.T. Kendall. They asked him to write it on the fear of God. He says, because there's no fear of God in the church. And he said, and I believe that. But you know, if you really believe what is saying here in 2 Corinthians 4:7, there'd be a fear. There'd be a fear. Fear of what? Of acting independent of God. Because I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to bless that. 5 years, 10 years, I'm not going to bless it. Not going to bless it. Now, based on what God says, you know, well, so-and-so did so. I don't want to hear about so-and-so. I want to hear about the ones that have totally committed their lives to Christ. You know, and they're doing just what he says. Not going to do anything unless he tells us, unless he moves within. And then all the surpassing power comes from God. You know what the armies said about Gideon when he brought the army? They said, God is going to use Gideon to destroy us. They figured it out. See, they figure God's doing this to us. See, because God moved. God moved. He moved home. Their behalf. So it's like, oh my goodness, what God wants. Let God be God in the man. Think about it. God. Anyway, he's the one that's going to tell us, speak to us. So now, when we have this thought, I mean, hallelujah, okay? It's clay vessels. You know what happens? When we think this way, when we believe the truth of this, that God is indwelling a clay vessel to show his power, we think different. How many of you think, oh my God, this is happening, it's all over, going to have to talk to my husband, we're going to have to sell the car, we're going to have to sell the house, going to put the kids up for adoption, I mean, everything is falling apart, oh Lord, I don't know what's happening, you wouldn't believe this problem, you know, that's life, we do this, oh, how is this, God don't understand why I'm in this problem, or do you don't think that, it's just me think that way, I mean, I think that way all the time, see, but if we understand that God was a clay vessel, and he's so it will show his surpassing power. When we believe that and walk in that, then all of a sudden we look at weaknesses different. Weaknesses now look different to us. Totally different. Our weaknesses, listen to this, our weaknesses become opportunities. Oh, that sounds like one of these Dale Carnegie positive thinking. No, that's what he said. No, our weaknesses become opportunities. When we understand it, oh my God, he wants a clay vessel that is weak so they can see his power. Then all of a sudden we look at weaknesses differently. Like the Apostle Paul said, now think about your weakness. The Apostle Paul said, he understood this, and he said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, this is what we should think about our weaknesses. 2 Corinthians 12:9, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so the power of Christ may rest on me. All God's people said, I'm having the whole damnation of hell coming out of me. Holy cow, praise Jesus. This is going to be a blast going through this thing. God's going to have to do big stuff. Hallelujah. You know, God is going to show himself strong because he shows his power. You see God through clay vessels. Through clay vessels. And he said, I boast all the more gladly in weaknesses than I do blessings. I'm not rejoicing at blessings. I'm rejoicing in the weaknesses so the power of Christ can rest on. Oh my God, I see this weakness. God's coming on me. God's coming. God's going to use me. God's going to change the world through me. God's going to use me in this situation. I'm excited because now his power's come because he can only use weakness. That's what this says. That's what this says. That's what this says. Now, I'm kind of wrapping it up here, but it says, you look at the words. Look at the word. Boast. Well, you need to be humble. You don't want to say this. You don't take too much on yourself, you know. And, you know, God can't use me. It can't because you're clay, but you know that he will enjoy the clay vessel. And it says here we're to boast about it. How do we boast about it? Oh, hell's breaking loose. Praise Jesus. I know he's going to give me the strength to walk through this. It's a boast. And he goes boasting that. Not that I can do it. No, but God's going to bring me through this. It's not going to be interesting, but I have confidence, and I have peace, and I'm excited about the God. So I'm going to boast. That's the word he used. I'm going to boast. See, say something, talk to God, pray to him in situations, all situations. Verbally bring him in. Now listen to this. This is the truth. God likes engaging with us. Everywhere through the Psalms, it says speak, talk, speak, talk. And sometimes there's nobody around us but God. So he says speak, talk, speak. Engage with God. See, God's power rests on us in our weaknesses. Weaknesses become our opportunities. Now look at this. Look at this. Romans 4:17. God's power rests on us in our weaknesses. Weaknesses become our opportunities. Nothing is impossible when we trust in the God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. What are you worrying about? What are you worrying about, Wallace? What are you worrying about? He calls into existence the things that do not exist. He's talking to his clay jar. He's talking to the clay jar. Well, God, how do you do that? I'll put you on like a suit. Nothing impossible based on what I tell you. If you do what I say, you know, if you change your thinking from the world's thinking, from your selfish thinking, and remember sin is acting independent of God. Don't need the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments don't have anything to do with it. It's acting. Don't act independent of God. You see? And you probably won't kill anybody. That's in the Ten Commandments, you know. because you don't act independent of God. You see the mindset change in here? The holy mindset's amazing. Now, so as jars of clay, this is important too. You know how I know it's important? Because God put it in the scripture in the same context. Okay, so as jars of clay, we believe. Now look on this. So we speak. So we speak. As jars of clay, we believe. So we speak. Jars of clay believe and say something. Say something. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. By the way, that's just six verses below 4:7. I just, you know, want you to know it's the same page. Okay? Same page. 2 Corinthians 4:13. As is written, I believed. Now remember, this is connected to 4:7. 4:7. As it is written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak. Living it, we're speaking it. We're living it, we're speaking it. And it's, I mean, that's a clear statement to speak it. To speak it. So, pray God into a situation. And, well, God's already in the situation. David's in the situation. Okay. No. Fine. Pray God in the situation, because what you're doing is God is a relational God, and he wants you to say something to him, and he wants to, you to speak to him, and he wants to engage with you, and you pray him into the situation, and he works for you in that situation, through you, and in the situation, because you've engaged with him. I believe, therefore, I speak. I speak. Speak. And therefore, you move forward in the power of God. That's how clay pot becomes usable by God. I believed. Therefore, I spoke. I spoke. And so we'll wrap it up with this. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for my sin. I am forgiven. And he says he gives us the Holy Spirit. Right there. And we become a caterpillar. And then he starts transforming us into a butterfly. To a butterfly. And I got my clay jar. Or we can say it the other way. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm forgiven of my sin. And the Holy Spirit enters the clay jar. And the clay jar, he puts us on like a suit. And he starts using us for his purpose. And nothing is impossible. He says, humble yourself to me. I will exalt you. Exhaustion. That's what it says. And all God's people said, hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love. And that, Lord, what you tell us in the scripture, how you love us, how you care for, and you want to work through us. You want to show your power through us. You want to do mighty things through us. You just want us to humble ourselves to you. To say, God, you're God. I want to do what you say. Lord, just give me the strength to walk with you, to work within my heart, to be obedient to you, out of love for you, to do the things you say. Dear God, we thank you for your goodness. And we close with 1 Corinthians 2:2. For we decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. Amen.